Morning. This past week, I was
walking through the building, thinking about things, and I walked into this coffee room over here. And if you haven't been inside of it, there, when you walk in it, I guess on the northmost door of it, there's a tree that is painted on the wall whenever you walk into it. And I had seen this tree. I do a lot of walking through this building. I had seen this tree a lot, but I don't know that I'd ever stopped to look at it. And I took a moment and I looked at it, and it's a tree that has fruit painted on it, apples. And on those apples are names. Names that I recognize. I saw a Mike Coyle on one of those apples. I saw a lot of Mouties. I saw Jim Mouty. I saw Elaine Mouty. It was a tree full of Mouties, really, is what it was. There's a lot of Mouties in there. But then also, there was a date on there, which I assume is the year that they were born. And I won't reveal any of those this morning, but they're on there if you want to take a look at them. But I stopped and I looked at it, and it's just amazing to think about the fact that all of those names are adults now. I was thinking about the children. Whenever they come into this world, we talk about them as our fruit, like the fruit of our loins. They are things that we produce, but really the real fruit, like we think of as fruit, the enjoyable thing. I would imagine that for a lot of us, it's not just having the child, but helping them to grow, seeing them to become adults. For a lot of us, the most important thing would be to help them to grow, to know the Lord. But, really, this idea of having a child start off small and then bringing them into adulthood, like, that's a big deal. But it's hard. It's hard to care and to cultivate and to bring fruit, real fruit, enjoyable fruit, into this world. I'm sure some of those names, some of those fruits were harder to cultivate and to bring to adulthood than others. My mom would definitely say that I would fall into that category. But bearing fruit is hard. It really is. We as God's children, we are called to bear fruit. Jesus says in John chapter 15 and verse 1, I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that he may bear even more fruits. We are asked to bear fruit, and we see we are expected to bear a lot of it, or we're desired to bear a lot of it. And this isn't really anything new. We see this concept from the very beginning. You remember in Genesis chapter 1? Genesis chapter 1, God says, we see his intention when he creates the vegetation of the earth. In verse 11, he says, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them. You see this when God creates the winged birds and the sea creatures. In verse 22, God blesses them and says, be fruitful, multiply, fill the waters and the seas, let the birds multiply on the earth. He says this in verse 28 about the animals and about his people that he creates. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God always had an intention to be fruitful and multiply. Why? He did want his creation to fill the earth, but what was his creation at this time? God looked at every bit of it, and it was good. God wanted goodness to fill the earth, and that's still the same desire that he has now. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. God wants us to be fruitful, to multiply good. And that good fruit comes from many different ways. We have fruit of mercy, of goodness, of kindness, of righteousness that we show. Fruit in bearing repentance. John the Baptist talks about that. Fruit of praise. Fruit that comes from our lips to give praise to God. Fruit of growth. Growing in our knowledge and our desire to serve Jesus and the Lord better. Fruit of faith. Many, many different kinds of fruit that we can bear. And we're expected to. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 33, Jesus points this out. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. This makes sense to us. I mean, an apple tree is known that way because it produces apples. A pear tree is known that way because pears is what it makes. Peaches the same way. When we turn our lives over to Christ, when we put on the title of a Christian, we put on the title of a fruit-bearing tree. And if we don't bear that good fruit, if we don't bear that goodness, that mercy, all of these things that give praise to God, because ultimately that's what the ultimate fruit is doing things that give praise and glory to our Father and to our Savior Jesus. When we put on the name of Christian, a disciple of Christ, we say we are that kind of tree. We are a fruit-bearing tree that is going to bear fruit for the glory of Christ. And if I don't, I'm just kind of like a pear tree that doesn't produce pears, or an apple tree that doesn't make apples. I'm not exactly what I say that I am. But bearing fruit is hard. It really is. Bearing any kind of fruit is hard. Whether you are, studying to bear the fruit of a good score on a test, or whether you're raising kids, or whether you are trying to produce something with your hands, whatever we're trying to produce, there's difficulties that come with it. And the same is bearing fruit for Christ. So this morning, what I want to take a look at is just. Really, it seems like a lot of the struggles that I have whenever I struggle to bear fruit from my Savior, a lot of those struggles come from myself. So I'd like to take a look at that, and hopefully as we get to the end of it, the biggest thing that I want to, I guess, shine a light on is that it's always worth it. The fruit is always worth it, whether it be kids or whether it be anything. Anything worth putting in effort for, anything that's worth fighting through the difficulties, it's worth it. So, to grow, plants need to have the right growing conditions. So, if we are struggling to bear fruit, maybe the growing conditions are off. You think about a plant, it needs water, sunlight, soil. If you were to uproot a plant and throw it in a box, it wouldn't last that long. Especially not bear fruit. So what is our growing conditions? Are we providing ourselves with the things that are going to help us to success? Well, there are a couple of things that we can control in this. First of all is our soil. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 18, Jesus has just got done telling the parable of the sower. The sower goes out to sow seeds. He throws some on the side of the road where the birds sweep it up. Some go into the hard ground that have no root and they die. Some go into the weedy ground that gets choked out and bears no fruit. And some go into the good soil. And he explains this in verse 18. Hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places. This is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but it is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom the seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Usually plants that are growing don't really get to control their own growing conditions, but in this case we do. We do control our soil, which is our heart. We have all received the seed of the gospel, the seed of the good news. We are all sinners. We have all fallen short, all of us. And the bad thing about that is those that fall short can't be with God. We need some way to be made clean so that we can be with God. Jesus does that. God came down in the flesh to die for our sins, to be that sacrifice that can actually cleanse us. And then he was raised so that we can walk in newness of life with him. And we portray that in our baptism. We go into the waters of baptism to symbolize that our dying, our being washed of our sins. We come out to walk in a new life. We believe that. We claim Jesus is our Lord. And we've heard this soil. I mean, we've heard this seed. We've had this seed planted in us. But how does our heart react to that? I'm giving a few different demonstrations of how a heart can react to that. There's the heart that hears that just doesn't react to it at all. Does not influence them at all. They are allowing Satan to snatch it away from them. And they hear it, I don't know, maybe they've come here. They hear it week after week after week, and they hear the good news, and Satan just takes it away. Because they're never accepting of the seed. There are those that have the rocky soil. Those that are really just disinterested. It's kind of how I think about it. They hear the word, and you know they're accepting of it, but they're not really accepting of what that means. They are not interested in growing, in understanding this wonderful Savior more and more, growing in knowledge of him, bearing fruit, wanting this good news to bear fruit within them. I was kind of thinking, we've all probably worked with this kind of worker at some point in our life, but just the worker that wants to do the bare minimum. Like, they just want to show up, get their job done, get a paycheck, and then go home. Problem with that, I mean, if you were thinking about in terms of if something was going to happen to that company, they sure would not go down with the company. They would be the first person out the door to leave. Well, we can be just bare minimum servants of God, where we know we have the seed sown in us. We know we never put in the effort to grow. We want to just do the bare minimum, and eventually that seed it really doesn't do anything. It just dries up in the end. There's the heart that just isn't interested in growing. And then the heart that gets distracted. They keep in these weeds and the cares of the world, and it chokes it out. Chokes in this beautiful word that's in us, so where they are unfruitful and they don't bear fruit. And then there's the good soil that produces the fruit, that does what the seed was made to do. And it's hard to get to that point. It's hard work to clear the soil. It's hard work to chase the birds away. It's a hard work to clear the rocks out. It's hard work to hoe up the weeds. It's hard work to invest. It's hard work to accept what the word means for us. It's hard work to get the distractions out of our life, but it's worth it. I mean, it's such a beautiful sight when you see this beautifully tilled ground, and you have a plant sprouting out of it, doing what it was created to do. getting ready to do what it was created to do, and that's bearing fruit. And how wonderful and how beautiful of a sight it is for God's people who was created, who were created, to bear fruit, to do the work, to clear out the distractions, to clear out everything and accept that word and get ready to be fruitful. It's what we were made to do. But that starts with preparing the heart. And then really the rest of the growing conditions, the sunlight, the water, the nutrients, God provides all of that. He provides us the sunshine of hope, of joy, the sunshine, the light of His Son. He gives us the water, the nourishment of His Word. He gives us the fertilizer, the strength and the nutrients, the power of the gospel, of the good news, the power of what Jesus has done for us. He gives us everything that we need. He provides us with everything to grow and bear fruit. Really, the question that I have to ask is, am I going to do it? Am I going to make the most of the growing conditions that I've been given? I've been given everything that I need. Am I going to bear fruit? There's a few different difficulties that can, even after we accept the word and even with all of these growing conditions being perfect for us, there's some things that keep us from accepting that, keep us from bearing fruit. We see this in Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. This is at the end of Luke's account of the parable of the sower. The seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart, and they hold it fast, and they bear fruit with perseverance. Bearing fruit takes perseverance. It's like that with anything that is worth producing in this life. It takes time to bring it into maturity. And initially, it may not seem that way. It may be that once we are baptized, we decide to turn our lives over to Christ, we understand the good news. You know, maybe doing good, doing the fruit that's been prepared for us is maybe easy at that point. It's all new. It's all wonderful. But where it gets hard, where unfruitfulness can come about, is during the duration of a long season. We do have a short window of time on this earth. Kind of talked about that last week, but it's also it's longer than sometimes we think too. We have kind of a long growing season. And we're expected to be fruitful throughout the entirety of it. Not just the beginning, not just sometime in the middle, not just sometime at the end. We have long enough, even though it doesn't seem like we have a long time on this earth, we have long enough time for the weeds to start coming back in. We have enough time for the stones to start rolling back in. For the cares and concerns to start choking on our heart again. For the wanting to be stagnant, the not wanting to grow, for that to start again. We have enough time for Satan to start working his way back into our lives. All of these things causing us to start becoming unfruitful and really to not last any longer. Sometimes it's easy when we get started. Easy when it all seems new. Easy when it seems easy when we have that first drive. But it starts to get hard towards the end. But it's not going to be about how we began this journey as a Christian. It's going to be about how we finish it. And we can look at that and say, okay, well, then I'm not going to produce any fruit now. I'm going to just wait until the end of my life. It doesn't work that way either. I mean, can you imagine if, let's say, a crop could talk to a farmer? And this, whatever it may be, cotton is talking to a farmer and says, you know, I had an opportunity my entire life to bear this much fruit, but I just waited till the end to spit out a couple of bowls. Do you think that would make him happy? God desires us to have lives of fruitfulness, not just seasons, not just periods of fruitfulness. Being fruitful does take perseverance. It takes going through the hardships of this life and growing through those. But, I mean, I know this group of people, and we're all capable of it. We all have that sort of perseverance. The question is, are we going to hold on to it? Another thing that may keep us from bearing fruit is we don't think that we're in the season for it. It's not the right season for us. In Mark chapter 11, starting in verse 11, we have this instance of Jesus, in verse 11, Jesus entering Jerusalem, coming out of the temple, and after looking around at everything, he left for Bethany with the 12, since it was already late. On the next day, when they had left Bethany, he became hungry. Seeing at a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if perhaps he would find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples were listening. We read later on in the chapter that fruit tree, whenever the disciples come back to it, they find it withered. And I read one of the most absurd online articles one time about crazy things that are really in the Bible. And one of those things was this instance of Jesus coming to the fig tree and cursing it. And they're like, "Can you believe that Jesus came up to curse a fig tree that wasn't in season?" And really their whole point was to make the Bible look ludicrous, to make Jesus look ludicrous. And, you know, when you read all of Jesus' teachings and you look at this, I mean, I view this as a teaching in and of itself. I mean, he goes to make an application about different things. He talks about, because the disciples are amazed that he's able to do this, and he says, you know, with even a small amount of faith, you can do anything. But when I view this situation as a perfect evidence of when the Master comes, he expects us to bear fruit. And one of the easiest excuses for me to make, and the excuse that I make all the time, is that it's just not the season for it. It's not the right season for it. I'm too busy. We have young kids. I have, you know, we can come up with excuses for anything. I'm too old. I have too many things going on. I have grandkids to take care of. I have parents to take care of. Whatever it may be, it just never seems like the right season. But yet, Jesus' teaching says he desires us to bear fruit. He expects us to bear fruit. And really, one of the amazing things that I think about when I think of that is that Jesus has faith in us to bear fruit. Jesus would not give us a commandment. He would not tell us to do something that we are not able to do. He knows everything about us. He knows that we are busy. He knows that we have duties to take care of, some of which is doing God's good work, taking care of parents and things like that. He understands that we have so much, that we have a lot on our plate, but yet he tells us to bear fruit. And we see examples like this. He may be coming at any time. We don't know. He may be coming today. We don't know. And he expects us to have fruit to show for it. It really gives me comfort that Jesus has faith in me, that I can do this. And honestly, I know that I can. I know that I can. I know that even though I am busy, I know that even though I have so much going on in my life, I am a busy person. I have a lot going on. But even so, I know that I can bear fruit because Jesus tells me I can. But am I going to determine in myself that I'm going to? No matter the cost, no matter the perseverance that it takes, no matter what has to go into that, am I going to produce fruit so that whenever Jesus comes, pray that it is today, whenever he comes, that he can come to me and I will say, "This is what I have done for you. This is the fruit that your gospel has produced in me. This is what I was able to do." may not be a whole lot. There are trees that bear a certain fold. There's some that bear a certain fold. There are some that take the talents they have and they make a certain amount of talents back. And everybody's isn't going to look the same, but I'm going to say, this is what I've done for you. This is what you've done for me and what I've done with it. And I take comfort in the fact that Jesus is going to look at that, look at the effort that I showed to produce fruit for him, and he is going to accept it. He's going to say, well done, my good, my faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master. And it's hard to produce fruit, but on that day, oh, it's going to be worth it. That's worth it. And the last thing that I want to start closing with is the ultimate reason why it's hard to bear fruit is because we're not abiding in the way that we can bear fruit. And let me show you what I mean. If you turn to John 15, back to John 15 is where we started with, John 15. Jesus says, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that he may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word that which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Jesus says multiple times in this passage that to bear fruit, we have to abide in him. We have to remain in him. We have to be a part of him. And maybe we read this passage that you cannot produce good fruit apart from Jesus. And maybe that makes us put our hand up and say, well, wait a second. We live in a part of the world that's blessed with really decent people. I mean, they really are. Seems like everybody is willing to do some sort of good for somebody around here. And it really, a lot of times it doesn't really matter what they believe in. So, is that true? Can someone produce good fruit apart from Jesus? I guess I kind of wanted to start with this. Anytime somebody does any sort of act of mercy, of love, of compassion, anything that God loves, that is such a wonderful thing. And I mean, we do see people doing these things, and it's beautiful. The world is filled with so much evil and negativity. Anytime that anybody does anything that is something that God desires, it's a wonderful thing and worthy of praise. But I guess I think about it, I'm going to read from Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12 and verse 32, this is after Jesus has told the greatest commandment. And in verse 32, a scribe says to him, right, teacher, you have truly stated that he is one, there is no one else beside him, and to love him, talking about God here, with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as himself is much more than all burnt offering and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he had answered intelligently, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. After that, no one would venture to ask him any more questions. People do some really amazing things in this world. And we can look at that with hope and with joy in our hearts. But the thing that we can also look at is they are not far from the kingdom. But you have to have Christ to be into the kingdom. No matter what someone does, any sort of good that someone does, we still have to have Christ. Because at the end of all of this, all of our fruit is going to be taken into account. The good trees are going to be with Christ. And he pointed out that a good tree does not produce bad fruit. A bad tree doesn't produce good fruit. So if we have any sort of bad fruit, and Jesus is going to take this into account, we can't be with him. And now we say, wait a second, I still fall short. I still, on a number of occasions, fall short. What does that mean for me? Well, if you've turned yourself over to Christ, if you abide in him, if you abide in the vine, and you are trying to bear fruit for him, and you are holding on in repentance of trying to turn away from those things that still try to trip us up, then Jesus has promised that those bad fruits are forgiven. And in the end, for those who are Christ's children, God's children, he's only going to see the good fruit. Which points out the fact that we do need Christ. We do. To be saved in this life, we do have to have Christ, but we can still look at hope with any goodness that goes on in the world and say, "This, you're not far from the kingdom." And try to show them how to complete that. Wouldn't it be so sad if people that were so close missed it? In this chapter in John 15, we also see, when you think about abide in me, that means that there is no separation between the branch and the vine. And I was thinking about this. Why would a branch decide not to be part of the vine? He keeps saying, abide with me. He keeps giving this reminder of abide with me. Why would a branch not do that? What happens to a branch after it's separated from the vine? It dries up. It's good for nothing than burning. Why would a branch decide to not be a part of it? And that kind of hits heavy when I think about why do I separate myself so much from Christ? Whether it be separate my time from him, whether it be to separate my mind from him, whether it be to separate my devotion to him and start putting it in all these different places, I'm just separating myself from the vine. And the more times that I do that, the more time that I spend away from him, the more that I dry up, the more that I start to become not able to produce the fruit that he desires for me. But if I hold on to him, if I have that perseverance, if I abide in him, if I fight this urge to separate myself from him, something amazing about a branch. If you look at a branch and at a tree, for example, you can tell that it's not the main branch, but it looks very similar to it in a lot of ways. You know, smaller, less prominence, but it looks very much like the main trunk. Can you imagine if we could look into eternity, look at our eternity with Christ. Looking at those that held on with perseverance, that bore fruit, those surrounding Jesus, I mean, it's going to be very obvious who the main branch is. It's going to be Christ shining in all of his glory. That's going to be extremely obvious, but the branches, the fruit-bearing branches, you know, in the end, it's going to be obvious they're not the main branch. They're going to be shining in glory too. Not looking all that much different from the main branch. And that's it's a beautiful thing to hold on to. It is difficult, so difficult to bear fruit in this life. But praise God and praise our Savior, it is going to be worth it. If you need to put on Christ in baptism this morning, to abide in the vine this morning, we give you the opportunity to do that now while we stand and as we sing.